Welcome back. We're on Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Prediction markets have been running overseas, especially in the US, for quite some time. Sites like the CNN Political Market, InTrade, News Futures have been closely tracking this year's political race. The oldest prediction market, the Iowa Electronics Markets, has been consistently outperforming polls since 1996. And now, thanks to a 19-year-old Auckland University student by the name of Chishan Lim, New Zealand has won too. New Zealand Political Stock Market is New Zealand's first public prediction market, and Chishan is here to tell us how it works. Hello, Chishan.
It's great to be here.
Tell me, when did you decide you were going to do this? On a dull day at the university?
Actually, I live in Palms North, and I was back home for the holidays, and I guess there wasn't a lot to do in between my actual job, so I thought I might as well give this a crack.
That explains a lot of great things were probably born out of people living in Palmerston North, weren't they?
You'd be surprised.
I'm going to split that atom one day. So the inspiration? I mean, you obviously have got a background. You're studying as a politics student.
Actually, I'm an engineering student, so nothing to do with politics. But
right.
I've got a bit of a side interest in politics and economics and those sorts of topics. So.
And presumably, you've played the stock market or the futures market, or have you just been an observer of that?
I've just been an observer. I don't really have the money to throw at it. So.
And this is the fun of this thing, that you don't need money.
Yeah, that's the really good thing. I think one of the biggest problems with markets, with the real money markets overseas, is sort of one, the whole regulation aspect, but secondly, that people just aren't willing to put money down on something that they're not quite so confident about.
Let's talk about how it works. You've got essentially you're creating your a virtual stock market of the New Zealand political parties and the New Zealand political race, aren't you?
Yeah. So basically, the problem with sort of polls in general is that what happens is you get a pollster and they go and ring up people and say, "Who are you going to vote for?" And you know, you've got problems with that because the types of people that you might be sampling might not be good, and pollsters have all sorts of fancy ways of getting around this. But sort of the better way of doing it, possibly, is to actually ask people, who do you think other people are going to vote for? And there was a book written in 2004 by a guy named, I think, James Hirowiki, called The Wisdom of the Crowds, which basically talks about how if you ask lots of people a question, then the average answer is generally considered to be, it turns out, quite good, in fact. And basically, prediction markets take this a step further, and sort of real money markets sort of weed out the people who might not know. So you might, if you're calling these people on the phone, they might not know much about politics. So the great thing about a market is that because you're putting money down, you don't actually have to answer.
So it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, people's ideas must be slightly coloured by who they prefer. Like, I mean, but at the same time, they're tempered with a bit of reality if they've got money, even virtual money. So I might, for example, love Jim Anderton's Progressive Party, and I might want them to get 100% of the vote, and I might give them, as a result, 3%. In reality, they might get 1 or 2. Is that sort of...
Well, the great thing is, if you go and sort of bid up the progressives up to $3, everyone else in the market will think you're crazy and they'll just drive the price back down again. So it sort of it acts as a way of moderating, sort of weeding out silly or irrational behaviour.
So everybody starts at $1, right? $100.
The way we've got it is everyone starts off with $100,000 of virtual cash. Well, actually, you start off with $50,000 in cash and $50,000 in stocks in the political parties, and then you can buy and sell those contracts in those political parties, or we've set up some other sorts of markets. For example, there's one based on who you think is going to be able to form the next government, and there's one that's based on what we think the election date's going to be. So you can basically pick and choose which markets you want to participate in.
And for example, if you're picking that you're going to say National will form the next government, the face value of that is $100?
Okay, so the way it works with the government market is we've got a pair of contracts. We've got one contract for National and one contract for Labour. And the assumption is that either National or Labour is going to be able to form the next government. And the way those contracts work is that whichever party does manage to form the next government, the contract for that party will be worth $100 at the end of the day. So you're basically placing a bet. So the price for National to form the next government at the moment is $70. So if you buy a contract for National, you say that I'm willing to pay $70 now to get this contract, and that's going to pay off $100 if they do manage to form the next government.
Whereas for Labour, it will only cost you...
only cost you $30. It's a real bargain, guys.
And you, so. And you either get $100 or
you get $100 or zero. Yeah.
Or $0 back. Have you found... I mean, I went on and had a look in the early days when it first started, because it's been running for a couple of months.
About a month and a half now.
Yeah. And it was interesting, in those early days, there was a lot of fluctuation. There was a lot of opportunity for arbitrage as well, where if you bought, you know, $100 worth of contracts, you could automatically sell them at $105 because there are that many people that, you know, hadn't worked that out. Are you finding that as it goes on that things are becoming a lot more, you know, the scope for things moving is becoming a lot less?
Yeah, what we did see in the early stages, and it's a problem with all prediction markets, is that when you've got so few traders, the liquidity just isn't there and you get huge price swings and you get all these funny things happening. But as more and more people participate in these markets, you've got more eyes and more opinions that get chucked into the mix, so to speak, and things sort of stable out. But that doesn't mean to say that they aren't going to react to new events. So, for example, if National comes out finally with some policy tomorrow, say on crime or something, and the voters, you know, really like that, then we'll see like an immediate response in the market by way of their price increasing.
Have you noticed any of that happening so far? So, you know, someone's made a gaffe, for example, or someone has said something good, and you've noticed a direct response, a direct correlation with actual events in the actual world?
At the moment, it's a bit hard to say again, because we don't quite have the numbers, and it's sort of hard to distinguish just random fluctuations with actual market responses. But hopefully, as we get more people involved, those sorts of things will be a bit more obvious.
And how is the volume? What sort of numbers have you got in now?
I've been told by my business mentor not to give away any numbers. But, you know, the way it's going is that what they've found overseas is that to have, you know, a reasonably efficient market, you need at least sort of 15 people trading in that contract. And we've got well above that at the moment.
So. Terrific. And is there word of mouth sort of working for you now? Are people sort of talking it up now?
Yeah, so far we haven't really had much of a marketing plan. It's just been spreading through word of mouth. And, you know, I've got some moles and some government departments who are spreading the word. So it's we're getting good organic growth through that.
It's going to be wasting a lot of time down in Wellington, isn't it?
It is.
You'd figure that most of the blogs, the bloggers, would be willingly involved in this. They, if they don't know about it already, they need to hear about it, don't they?
Yeah, the great thing about this is that it sort of gives them something else to talk about apart from polls, because, you know, the problem with polls is that we've got all these variations and they come out, you know, semi-regularly. And there's a lot of debate as to which polls accurate and which polls aren't accurate. So prediction markets, one of the things that they can do is a way of judging how well polls actually perform, because, you know, in the past we've seen, for example, in the Iowa electronic market, that it has consistently outperformed polls. So it's a good way of sort of judging the accuracy of polls that these media outlets publish.
Have they had any in Australia?
I didn't really follow the elections in Australia, but I believe that there were contracts for the Australian election in some of the American markets, and those went quite well.
I suppose you're not going to know until after the election results whether you're onto a winner here, aren't you? I mean, if it does turn out that the market results are pretty close to, you know, the actual results, then next election you might be in hot demand.
Well, I think you know, the experience of all the other markets, as David mentioned, there's a lot that've been running overseas, and so far we've seen that they have generally been accurate. The thing is to remember though is that prediction markets aren't magic. Like, you know, they're not going to tell you for sure that something's going to happen. If a market price for National is $70, it says that the market thinks there's a 70% chance that this is going to happen, which means there's a 30% chance that it's not going to happen.
There is an element of mind reading in it, isn't there? Because it's pretty much, I think that you think that this is how it's going to happen, isn't it?
There is a bit of that, but I think the thing to remember is that at the end of the day, the value of the contract will be determined by the event. So if you can extrapolate back one step from that and say that, you know, at one point before that, then you're going to do what you think is actually going to happen. And, you know, that sort of mechanism means that the prices do tend to be a generally a good predictor of the probability for the event.
Oh, good luck with that. I hope it goes well for you.
So do I.
It's Tishan Lim from politicalstockmarket.co.nz. Coming up after the break, we're going to learn about the art of collecting glass.